Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 122, part 2, Old Things, New Things. Today is Sunday, November 22nd, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join our online community. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And in the show notes, you're going to find scripture links to those scriptures that Pastor Paul uses within his message. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for part one and part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. Have a great month of November, starting it off on All Saints Day, November 1st. These are the messages that you will hear this month on Pastor Paul's podcast. A love better than wine. Our instincts need purifying. Old things and new things. And old and new side by side. So there you have it. The month of November will prove to be the best yet. God bless you and have a great month.
But we must first allow God to clean up our attitudes. Next, we must be balanced in our private character and then in our public performance. How many are hearing this? I'm saying that the public performance in the social reconstruction is out of balance with the private character if it's left unattended. Now let me explain that a little bit. How sad it is for me to see a lot of people with no character. How sad it is for me to see people with no character, zombies walking around. Have you ever noticed when you go down the streets in the suburbs, all the houses are basically pretty much the same? Why is that? Because insurance companies built them. Because now they don't have the carpenter's touch to it. They don't have the little scroll works. And they don't. You ever notice how they're redoing all these old buildings? Because they got character. The new ones are all icky, brick. And aren't they icky looking? And they all got glass all the way through them. Or they got some kind of vinyl on the outside or some kind of plastic on the outside. And they have no character. And really, that's what we've got in our world today is a lot of people with no character. Ooh, that's so sad. But you know what? When Jesus Christ gets a hold of a person, he can give you a character. He can transform you, translate you, and make you a beautiful person and give you a brand new character. Or maybe you were a character before you got saved. I'm not saying that. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is he gives you character. The real beautiful part of you starts to come out. Oh, God, how we need to have character. You talk to people, they have no personality whatsoever. No character. They don't know when they hear a funny story. They don't know when to laugh. They don't know when to cry. They don't know nothing. Isn't there a lot of ignorance in the world today? And why is that? No family, no character in the family, no character leading that family. In a lot of cases, and I see this a lot down here on the north side, no role models. No one to go after. And of course, I see the same thing out here in the suburbs. But there's got to be some role models. There's got to be someone that says, hey, the kingdom of God is within me. And the kingdom of God within me has got a better way for you. Let me show you the way. Follow me as I follow Jesus. How many are hearing his word today? Follow me as I follow Jesus. Follow you, your friends, as I follow Jesus. How old are you, honey? 18. Follow me. Oh, boy, you're at a ripe age to be hurt to pieces. It's the truth. Unless that you have a strong character. Nadine has a strong character. I like that. Because she goes on and on and on, and she's a leader, and has a strong character. You're a character. Do you know that? Strong characters are what God wants. People with strong characteristics, and I'm talking about people that are in Christ. Christ-like. Christ characters. Hallelujah. I'm talking today about a social order that's got to change. Something that's got to change. Now here on the north side, we got a couple of things here. We got an environment that's got to change. Is that right? I mean, life depends on two factors. Adaptive organisms and suitable environment. Now I think that an organism may be very adaptable. But if there is no suitable environment, then that will soon die. In other words, if we don't form it, we offer Christ down here. And if we don't have the right environment, that organism, that born-again organism, will die. That's why downstairs right now I'm feverishly working to change an atmosphere. To bring in a family spirit with all these little tables that we're setting up, and all of these little things that we're doing down there, to change the environment. To bring people in, brand new organisms in Christ, and bring them in to another environment so that they can change. Say amen, somebody. How can people change when there is no place for them to change in? How can you change when you go to your house and both of the parents, let's say, are drunk, are on drugs? What kind of an environment is that? It's up to the house and it's up to the church of God to cause a change by causing a brand new environment. And in that brand new environment, that brand new organism will live and it will flourish and it will grow and it will take over and will have enough life to go back into that whole house and cause a change within. And it says the young will lead the old. Glory to God. It's so wonderful. And we have the task, hallelujah, of changing the environment, of taking the environment and saying, this is the kingdom of God environment. Take that which God has put within and broadcast it out, those seeds, those kingdom seeds, and broadcast them out and let them flourish and let them grow and change the environment. Cause the kingdom environment and then bring the brand new organisms into the kingdom environment and watch them flourish and watch them grow. Hallelujah, there is a great job to do down here on the north side. Are you ready? And I want to tell you something. It is exciting Hallelujah! It is exciting that God has chosen this particular ministry to come down here to the north side. It is exciting right now that we are changing. Hallelujah. How many want to change? My God, I want to change. I desire it more than anything. I desire to change and become that person that Christ wants me to become. Hallelujah. That one that God wants to use. How many want to change completely? Whew. Here's something beautiful out of Matthew 13 and 41. I'm glad I said all that. And Matthew 13 and 41 says, all causes of sin. Isn't that beautiful? The Son of Man will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin. Didn't say he was going to take sinners out. The Son of Man will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all who violate his laws. Note the two emphases there. All causes of sin and all who violate his laws. All who violate his laws. The causes of sin here. And this refers to the impersonal causes of sin. One kind of sin was in the individual, and the other kind of sin was in the social order. Let's look at the causes of sin here for a minute through the social order. The social order may cause sin, and it may cause good. And it may cause people to sin in order to survive. Let me know on your jobs a lot of times. The social order causes you to sin in order to survive. Maybe the boss has you tell half-truths. Well, tell them that we haven't been able to get at the order yet. And we're trying the very best we can, and yet it's buried underneath a whole bunch of papers. You have no, you aren't even going to look at it that day. You see what I'm saying? The social order can cause us to sin. When the devil says, jump, in this world situation, you say, how high and which way, left or right? Doesn't society expect you to fall into a rut? Doesn't your job expect you to fall into a rut and to cheat and to steal and to lie and to compromise and to wink and to turn your back and to keep your mouth shut and to gossip and to belong to a clique and stop after work for booze? Maybe go to a drug party? Swear always? They say fit in or fall out. We can't fall into any of that. Are you hearing this? And I think number one cause of sin is competition. Oh, God, there's so much competition. Is there competition in the church? Oh, come on. Come on. There's competition in the church, isn't there? There's competition between preachers, isn't there? Preacher, are you hearing me today? There's competition between the preachers. Competition and pressing forward with a certain doctrine that will do no one any good. I'm going to say this today, unless that a message lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, it's off. Unless at the end salvation is offered, it's off. If it gets into arguing over doctrines and do's and don'ts and wills and won'ts and shan'ts and shouldn'ts, it is off. How many are hearing this message today? Oh God, how we need to examine our hearts on these things that I'm talking about here today. Woo! But let's look at some of the causes. Competition, I said, and that is a spirit. Oh, how ruthless it is. You know how it is out there in the world, don't you? How is it out there in the world? How is it? Competition! I was thinking back in my own life when I took over a whole building and I had the whole maintenance and I had all the crews in there, you know, and I undercut this guy so bad he had to get out of business. And then someone came along and they started cutting on me and the competition just got... You go into a gas station right now, they're selling bread in there and rolls in there and overhauls in there and gloves in there and tea kettles and pitchers and everything else. Isn't that right? No matter where you go, that competition is on. You go into one store and the prices are here and the price, and it's a war that's going on. Look at the gas stations right now. All they did, they took all these little independent dealers out there and they cut them off because they didn't want any competition. Isn't that the way it is right now in the world? Don't you see right now that we've got to bring kingdom living into this situation? Competition right now is what's happening in the church. People are competing with one another in your own homes. The wife competes against the husband, and the husband against the wife. The children compete against one another, and they're brought up in this continual siege of competing all the time. And it's causing sin, because people want to get ahead so bad, and they start to compete so heavily that they sin against one another. How many of what I'm talking about here today is the very, very truth? Glory to God, I do not want to get into competition. I've had people ask me, what are you doing down here on the north side? I said, I don't exactly know, but I know I'm glorifying God down there. I know exactly what it's all about, but I know I must glorify the Lord, and I must do what God has called me to do, and that is to feed the poor and lift up those that are lowly in heart. And I said, that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to get into competing with anybody. I'm not going to put on any big ads for people to come into the church, and I'm going to put out an ad. I'm going to say, if you want to come to Disciples Ministry, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to work, you're going to have to toil, you're going to have to go out and witness. You're going to have to bring someone in, you have to encourage somebody, and we're going to put you through a whole school of things. And I think right from the very beginning, when we get people, we should just tell them, this is what this church is all about. When you come in here, you just dedicate all your time and your plan and your purpose towards lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll fit you in someplace. If it's an hour a week or if it's 2 hours a week or whatever that you can give, be much appreciated. But you are going to be an active part in what's going on down here. If I found out one thing, it's not paying people to do things. It's having God bring them in and donating their time to do something so that they got that spirit within them to do it. Say amen, somebody. It's really the truth. I have paid people to come in, and it doesn't work. They're not into kingdom language. Last night, I had Marty come in here. He went out, and he says, I'll be back in a couple of hours. And I had to have some planters made down there. And I guess they make furniture over there, isn't that right? And they make these special furniture. So he made 22-foot planters. In about 2 hours, he came back out of scrap wood with the most beautiful planters I have ever seen. What motivated him? Money? No. God motivated him. And he had so much fun doing it. You know what he said? He says, you know what? I don't feel like I'm doing enough for the Lord. I would like to do something more. Can I do something more? I was shocked again. I mean, all day yesterday, I was shocked with people. Whew. Oh, and God bless you, Hugh. Oh, God bless you. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about church and competition and things like that. Hugh McLeod, one of the very dear friends of mine, and Leif, his partner, came into my church, and they said, Pastor Paul, what can we do to help you? Shocko, shocko, shocko. And I said, I was shocked. I forget what I did say, but it just thoroughly shocked me. And since then, they have poured money into this church. We're going over to St. Paul. I haven't really done too much. Hugh has been brought in here by the Lord from the Coldwell Bankers to come in here and to help me out. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my God. I was standing downstairs, and I said, do you mind if I touch you? He says, well, why do you want to touch me? I said, I don't believe you're real. Well, that's so neat what God is doing. People, you got to get excited about what the Lord is doing. So fantastic. We've got to set up the kingdom of God right here on the north side. We've got to walk around and claim this as hallowed ground. We've got to go over to St. Paul and start another little, you know, get all of these organisms over there working, you know what I mean? So you're contagious, you touch them like, Understand what I'm talking about? Excitement. I'm already planning right now for this housing situation over there. And Hugh has set up all the groundwork. I haven't done nothing. I just went over there and looked at the building and tried to act like I knew what I was going to be doing. And I looked around and I tried to act like... remember that message about looking like I felt like a beetle in this, you know? And I thought, God, I just feel like a beetle standing here. All these people know what they're doing and so on like that. And God says, take another look. And all these gentlemen were standing there. There were beetles with suits on. We're all beetles. But you know what? God has so blessed me, and I want to lift you up today. You know, you so blessed me with you coming in here, and Dan, Leif, coming in here and helping me. I want to lift you up. And I just like to all you people in here to give this beautiful person a big clap hand here. Come on. Oh, yeah. And, oh, just stand up a minute, honey. Just look at that. I want you to take a look how this girl has been transformed. Come on down here. Just come on down here. Come on. This is, I'm talking about, kingdom environment. Doesn't she look beautiful? Well, maybe you didn't know her before, but you don't recognize her now, do you? She hasn't been drinking for over a month. Kingdom life is stirring on the inside. She's going to be one of our secretaries down here, maybe over in, I think I'll take you over to St. Paul.
You told me yesterday.
I told her yesterday. But doesn't she look beautiful?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Come on, let's hear it for her. What makes people do the things they do? Kenny chopped down a whole wall almost by himself. I mean, that was his big thing the other day doing that, and he has stripped the floors down there, and God brought him in from Florida, and he works like 12 or 13 hours a day. No money involved. He gives money here. But what makes you do that? See, God makes you do that. I guess this is the point I'm trying to make today. I just leave, forget messages. The point is that the kingdom of God within us is stirring. And it's stirring people up all over. Isn't it? And those that are of like mind are coming together. They're coming together. Isn't that exciting? You never know when you answer the phone. It might be someone that you're going to meet that was supposed to be there, and they're coming together. Coming, Rosemary. Faithful. One of God's characters. I mean, you know, I told her one day she talked so fast that if we had fingers on our lips, we could all go home. Nobody gives her a hard time because she talks so fast they confuse them and they walk out. But she's just a great person. Oh, wonderful people, I'm telling you. You're very peculiar. But then the Bible says, we are a peculiar people. Oh, God. But it's so wonderful at this date in my ministry for help to come in and for a little lightening up of the load. Now, I don't want to be... A guy like me, if I'm not under stress and I'm under some kind of a strain, I'd fall apart. So I have to get into something real quick as soon as I get out of this. Get into this right away, you know what I mean? I'm a type of person that has to be busy all the time. Busy with my mouth, busy in my preaching, busy in loving people. Busy in caring for people, busy with the challenges, busy with just busy, you know what I mean? Being busy. And you know what the best thing in the world is to be busy? Oh God, be busy, people. Be busy doing the Lord's work. Be busy in it. Be so busy when God looks down and he says, oh, they're busy, praise the Lord. No, he doesn't say praise the Lord. Are you hearing my message today? Are you getting touched, honey? You're getting touched, aren't you? What's your name?
Polly.
Polly. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Okay. You're getting touched. You know why? God wanted to touch you today. God wants to use you and all your beauty with these friends. You know what I mean, don't you? Huh? Have I missed anybody in here today? Oh, God bless you all in here today. God bless you. And brother, I am so glad that you came down here. Brother, I'm so glad that you're here. Oh, God brought you here. And I hope that you go back with something different in your heart. You sure left a lot here. Are you going back today? Praise the Lord. Who knows? Maybe you'll even move up this way someday. Now, I'm not putting no ideas in your head. Oh, God, I want to thank you for these people here today. I want to lift up each one. Lord, in this message today, about how you can turn us around, transform, change, translate, make us new. All things are become new. So even McDonald's and all these other things are just beautiful, Lord, because we are the ones that must change. We are the ones that must see things with kingdom eyes and with kingdom air. God, help us to be those ones, Lord, that just start to see things with the eyes of love and compassion and get into the ministry of helps. Oh, God, just bless each one that's here today. Cause them to prosper in everything they do. God, bless them so much. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to minister gospel again. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to come forward again and offer you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody?
So with your tears.